Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christa Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christa Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
Amen.
And good morning, everyone. Thank and welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral. I would welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are following us through television, the internet, or radio. We gather this morning with the church to celebrate the Feast of Christ the Good Shepherd. Jesus says He is the Good Shepherd. He calls each of us by name and we hear His voice. We ask especially for all the young people who are contemplating the life of religious life or priesthood, that they might listen to the voice of God calling them and follow in His footsteps. As we prepare ourselves to celebrate this Eucharist, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for pardon and strength. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty ever-living God, lead us to a share in the joys of heaven, so that the humble flock may reach where the brave shepherd has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And then they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, nothing I shall want. Fresh and green are the pastures where he gives me repose. Near restful waters he leads me, he revives my soul. Me along the right path for the sake of his name. Though I should walk in the valley of the shadow of death, no evil would I fear, for you are with me. Your crook and your staff give me comfort. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. You have prepared a table before me in the sight of my foes. My head you have anointed with oil, my cup is overflowing. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. In the Lord's own house shall I dwell for length of days unending. The
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you had gone astray like sheep, but you now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Shepherd, says the Lord, I know my sheep, and mine know me.
Alleluia, from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The Gospel of the Lord.
In today's gospel, Jesus says to all of us that he is the good shepherd. He knows each of us by name and that we hear his voice. But in our modern day culture, the one constant complaint from parents and teachers is that the young people, they no longer hear or listen to those in authority. And we reminisce the days when children, young people, they seek wisdom from parents and teachers and religious and civic leaders. Back when I remember if parents telling their children to go to Mass, we don't grumble, we don't talk back to them, we don't give them lip service. We simply went. Except for one time, my cousin and I decided that Mass at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday is too early. And as kids, we said, well, let's just kind of ditch it and then go to a later Mass. So he and I decided that let's go to the chicken coops and sleep in there instead. And lo and behold, we got bitten by fleas and ticks, and we got red all over. And when we got out, my dad looked at us and said, I was going to punish you, but I see God already did it. And since that moment on, we never disobeyed the authority again. Or perhaps when the president said that our country is being invaded and we need to defend it, and so young people would sign up and they would defend to the death of their own country. Or perhaps a priest might tell us that you don't give enough, give more money. And of course we looked at it and say, what? That's a bad example. But we know that we listen, we do listen to authority. And so nowadays we face the question that, is there a crisis in authority? Perhaps because with the news that is so close to us nowadays in our living room all over the world, we see how not only parents who fail to raise their children physically and spiritually, abandoning them, abuse them, we have perhaps even the religious and political leaders who are very bad and they create scandals. And so perhaps there is such a thing as a crisis with authority, but also there's a crisis with the young people too. They don't have the example to look up to. And so they no longer hear that authentic voice of people who are supposed to show them goodness from badness. But unless we learn, we become parents and teachers and leaders ourselves, we will never be able to appreciate the overwhelming responsibilities of those who are in charge of us. Perhaps some of you are starting your families, and when you were younger, said, if I have a family, I'll be much better parents than my parents. Only to realize that once you have your own children, you said, my Lord, my parents were really good. You know, they have 10, I only have 2, and I can't even control them. And so indeed, unless we become the authority ourselves, we will never be able to appreciate it. And we realize how selfless those parents and teachers and leaders can be. There's a story of a mother and a child that were walking by the river, and due to the recent rain, the water was raging. And the little boy made a mistake. He went too close to the bank, and he slipped, fell into the river, and the torrent just took him down. And as the mother stood there helplessly crying out to those who perhaps could go in hearsight camp to help her son, but nobody was there. But fortunately for her, downstream there was a man, young man, who was walking down, and he saw that little boy in the raging water. And without thinking for himself, he dived right in. And he caught hold to the boy, but he himself now was being swept down the river. And as he blindly reached out for anything, he grasped one of the branches from the tree that grew by the bank. And he told the little boy to hang on to him so he could use his, both of his hands. And he pulled himself onto the bank as both he and the boy laying there on the bank of the river, just breathing out, breathlessly breathing. And the mother ran down to them and she was thanking this man profusely. Thank you for saving my son. And then finally she told the little boy, said, go and show him and thank him, to show him how grateful you are. And little boy looked at the man and said, sir, thank you very much for saving me. And the young man, although young but very wise, touched the little boy's head, lift his chin up, and he said, that's okay, son, just make sure that your life is worth saving. I'm sure that boy growing up, even though he might not be as perfect, but every time he might have gone astray, he would be reminded of that saying by that man who saved him, make sure your life is worth saving. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus reminds us that he is the good shepherd who knows us by name, he calls us by name, and we hear his voice. He is the good shepherd who is not only risking his life, but he gave his life for us on the cross to save us. And that is why it is utmost important for each of us to come each week to say to Jesus, thank you for saving my life. And in doing so, we listen carefully, we'll hear him saying, you're welcome, but make sure that your life is worth saving. During the day, during the week, we might, on the outside world, we might be working and playing and do all these things, and we might make mistakes, but that we ask the Lord to help us to be mindful of the need, be reminded by God that make sure that our life is worth saving. We pray for young people to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd calling them. It is also what we call vocational week, where we pray for more vocation to religious life and to the priesthood. And the bishops are reminding us that as priests, we oftentimes we don't talk about our own vocation, so people don't know. The best way to promote your vocation is to tell people who you are and how you live it. So I thought I'd share with you a little bit about my vocation. So you know that I am not from the United States. I was born in Vietnam. Vietnam wasn't a Christian country up to about 300 years ago. And thanks to the missionaries from Europe, Portugal, Spain, and France, they came to Vietnam and preaching the faith, and rows of them died because of martyrdom. The monarch there did not know them. They were fearful of the religion that worshiping God and not them. And so they put to the sword many, many missionaries. And so, but still they came. They came and they planted the seed, and thanks to them, I was able to be born, not that of my own doing, but God gave me the opportunity to be born in a Catholic family 300 years later. And although even now today there's only 8% of the country is Catholic, but if you visited Vietnam, it's beautiful. When you do have a chance, do go. And every other block, you will see there's a Catholic church. You will think it's all Catholic. There's only 8% of it is Catholic. And I was growing up in very close to the church. I was sent to Fatima Elementary. I was taught by the Nazareth sister. Couldn't be more Catholic than that. I remember growing up, the sister, this is how they promote vocation. They'll ask the children, what you gonna do when you grow up? And of course, being a little boy and looking up to my father, I said, I'd like to be like my dad, I'll be a fisherman. And you know, they whacked me on the head, and I said, that's not the correct answer. And of course, they didn't tell me what the correct answer was until I heard it from all the kids. They lie. So whenever the nuns asked, they would imitate those kids and said, I'd like to be a priest. And you know, instead of whacking you, they hug you. And so I lied to the sisters. All my growing up, that's the one thing I did. I lied to the sisters. But at first it might have been a lie, but eventually it became part of what you think all the time. I came here when I was 12, 1975, and when I was 16, my father passed away in a car accident. And 18, I graduated from high school, stayed home a year working on a shrimp boat, not a good vocation. I got motion sickness, I throw up every day, but yet I worked on the boat for a year. So now the priesthood is a breeze, no problem at all. And so at 19, I went to school, went to stay with my uncle. My father died, so I'd like to have a father figure. My uncle was a very wise man. I shared a story with you about him already, about him not going to Mass, and later on he met he converted and died on his deathbed, being anointed and receiving communion before he died. And so after that year, I called my mother and said, Mom, I've been praying about this, and I thinking about entering the seminary to become a priest. And Mom was very happy, but she was very reprehensive. She was worried. And she said, Hon, you know that I love you, but the moment you enter the seminary, you can never leave unless you die or you became a priest. You don't come home. And that was scary, because I told my mother, I only want to find out if God calls me or not. I don't know if it's going to work out. But she said, no, you don't come home. And that was it. So I entered the seminary anyway. I didn't want to shame the family if I leave the priesthood, I leave the seminary. So I didn't tell anybody. None of my relatives knew that I was in a seminary for 7 years. My mother and I kept it a secret until I sent them an invitation to my diaconate ordination, all my families and members in California. On the day of my ordination, this church here was packed. Just my relatives. And they were surprised and said, why you didn't tell us you entered the seminary? I said, well, I didn't want to shame you just in case I left. So I didn't tell anybody. Well, needless to say, 25 years later, this is the most fulfilling vocation I've ever lived. It's the only one I know. But because of it, I've encountered many different people, from the lowest to the highest. I've been to the poorest country to the richest country, from Australia to Asia and China, Vietnam, Thailand, the Philippines, United States and South America, been to the Holy Land, all the Marian places. I've been to Lourdes and Fatima and Guadalupe in Mexico City, been to all of them. And that's the life of a priest. And so but the reason I became a priest is also because in each family in Vietnam, they would dedicate one child to God. Whether you have 2 or 10, you dedicate one child. You would think, you know, my family would be me. No. My father wanted my younger brother to become a priest. I was a little tiny, weakly little boy, always staying home helping our mom, so they call me Mama's boy. But my younger brother didn't want to be a priest, but Dad wouldn't let me become one either until he died and I asked my mother instead. And so I'd like to ask you, is besides just praying this week for vocation, that although it might be too late for some of you who are remarried, but it's never too late for your children or grandchildren. You pray and then you ask the Spirit to help point out one of the child for you. Then you tell that child, I've dedicated you to God. I hope that you become a religious sister or a priest. And you kept praying for that child. You shower him or her with all the spiritual love and money too if you have them. Take them places. Shower the love on them. And even if that person doesn't become a priest or nuns, the others might, because they're being influenced by it. And so at the end of our life, as we come to see God, thanking God for having created us, given us the opportunity to be born into a Catholic family, die for us, to save us and give us this new life, hopefully we'll hear from Jesus himself saying to us, I'm glad that I saved you because you are worth it. Let us now stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Having returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls, let us now pray for all those who are in need.
For Pope Francis and all the leaders in our church, as they strive to follow Christ, the Good Shepherd, and encourage us to do the same, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For leaders in our country and the world, that they might follow the example of the Good Shepherd in caring for the needs of all those with whom they have been entrusted, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those who are celebrating their confirmation this Easter season, as they deepen their faith and commitment to the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For men and women in every faith community, that they might hear the voice of the Good Shepherd calling them into ordained and lay ministries, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in the military, that they be surrounded with the grace and protection of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Valentin L. Puig, Frank Garza Jr., Frank Garza Sr., deceased members of the Mew family, and Jose Landa, let us pray to the Lord. Now, my friends, for all the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, O gracious God, your care for us knows no bounds. Lead us with your love and graciously hear these our prayers, for we make them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all this holy church.
Grant, we pray, O Lord, that we may always find delight in these Paschal mysteries, so that the renewal constantly at work within us may be the cause of our unending joy, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts.
We lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord. But in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Through him the children of light rise to eternal life, and the halls of the heavenly kingdom are thrown open to the faithful. For his death is a ransom from death, and his rising the life of all has risen. Therefore, overcome with Paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together in the hymn of your glory as they acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise, for through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a perfect sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and the salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servants Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, the order bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you after passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Only say the word in my soul. Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.